end of the chapter. Luke chapter 16.
That's where he talks about Lazarus.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. We read the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. We trust God's blessing to rest on this solemn portion of his holy word. Now, we have been considering in these Wednesday night studies the question that is brought before us by the world, can we trust the Bible? And of course, there are so many voices saying, no, we cannot. And it is these voices who find their way onto the bestseller lists, onto the radio and onto the television. But what is the true answer? Because, of course, the media will always pick up a controversy. But very rarely will they actually convey the truth of the matter. And as we come to the conclusion of this series, we come to a very important question, which is this. But is it enough? Is the Bible enough? And whereas many of the other objections we have considered, questions we have considered, are questions that are coming from outside of the church. There are many people who would describe themselves as devoted Christians. In fact, there are many people who are devoted Christians who would say, well, yes, we believe the Bible is the Word of God. Yes, we believe that God has given us these books, and that in these books, God speaks without error and speaks to us. But we need something else. This was, of course, one of the great questions of the Reformation. You know, the Reformation, the Reformers formulated what I call the five solas, which are that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone, and we learn this in Scripture alone. The Reformation slogan, of course, is in Latin, sola scriptura, Scripture alone. And this is one of, and still one of the great dividing points between the Roman Catholics and evangelical Reformation Protestantism. Our own confession of faith, the 1689 confession, puts it like this. It says, the Holy Scripture is the only sufficient, certain and infallible rule of all saving knowledge, faith and obedience. But it is the only sufficient, certain and infallible rule. And of course we are particularly considering the point that it is sufficient. The Bible is enough. And so we have, first of all, we have a challenge that is set by those who say it is not enough. And secondly, an answer to the challenge. So what are the challenges to the sufficiency of Scripture? First of all, we have to realise that fundamentally and finally, this is not a question of sufficiency alone. But it is a question of authority. What is the final authority for the Christian? Is it the Bible? Or is it something else? And that is really the question that lies behind this question, is the Bible enough? And if it is not, then what is the final authority? Well, the Roman Catholic Church will say that they believe, and certainly modern Roman Catholics, there have been variations through the centuries. The Roman Catholic Church claims to be forever the same, but it is not. The current position that is most popular, there are differences, is that there is one word of God that is found in the Scripture and in tradition. However, when you take a step back and ask the question, well, who decides what is tradition? And so you have to do this, because the Roman Catholics will come to us and say, well, we have apostolic tradition. And the question then to ask is this, well, what is the tradition? Where do I find the tradition? And the Roman Catholic answer is that tradition is defined by the Church. Furthermore, the Roman Catholics will tell you that, well, of course, the Church, they will say, defines what the Scripture is. And so you see, if the Church defines what is tradition, and if the Church defines what is Scripture, then, in fact, the final authority is neither Scripture nor tradition, but the Church. And so we can refer to the Roman Catholic position as sola ecclesia, the Church, that is the Roman Catholic Church alone. And of course, in the Roman Catholic tradition, the idea is that the Church is the teaching authority, the magisterium, they call it, which is summed up in the Pope. So finally, the final authority for the Roman Catholic is the Pope. And whatever the Pope says, goes. Whatever the Roman Catholic Church's teaching authority says, that is the final authority. So they will say, the Bible is not enough. You must have this infallible teaching authority, because otherwise, without them, you would not know what the Bible was, you would not know what the Bible taught, and you would not know the extra-biblical traditions, such as the position of the Virgin Mary, as they would put it. Sola Ecclesia. Church defines everything. And it's a similar situation with the Jehovah's Witnesses. Because for the Jehovah's Witnesses, the final authority is the governing body of the Jehovah's Witnesses, based in Brooklyn, New York. And this again is a group of men who define what is to be believed. And they are the people who are behind the magazines and the publications that the Witnesses will bring to your door. The final authority for them is the governing body. The Mormons, the final authority for the Mormons is the living prophet in Salt Lake City, whoever he may happen to be. And of course, many of the cults have their own books. So the Mormons will add to the Bible the Book of Mormon, the Pearl of Great Price, and the book entitled Doctrines and Covenants. So again, they say the Bible is not enough. I was speaking some months ago with a Mormon on the street, and he said, of course, we don't get our doctrine from the Bible. We get our doctrine, he said, from the Doctrines and Covenants. And we had quite a fruitful, I hope, discussion, which I told him, no, the Bible is enough, and we do get our doctrines from the Bible. And so on the one hand, you have those who say there is an infallible authority that tells us what we are to believe, and that is where we put our faith. And then you have almost the reverse of that. You have the mystics. And the mystics, the mystical idea is, well, I have my impressions. The Quakers follow the inner light. And they say, if I have an impression in a certain direction, then that is my final authority. And the mystical idea is totally internal. There's nothing external. There's no external authority. There are my feelings, my dreams, my impressions. And then the third type that denies the sufficiency of Scripture and puts something else as the final authority, we might call the modernist, the scientific rationalist, who says the final authority is the pronouncements of science. And so back in the 19th century, when it had been constantly proclaimed by science that the art of writing was unknown in the time of Moses, there were modernists who said, science tells us that Moses cannot have written the first 5 books of the Bible because writing was unknown in his day. Sadly for the modernist, we have since discovered that writing was known in that day, because absence of evidence is not the same as evidence of absence. And so the pronouncements of science are placed above the Bible, and that becomes the final authority. And because of that, the Bible then has to be changed and altered to fit the pronouncements of whatever science is saying at the time. So psychology will be introduced. And rather than taking the text as it stands, the modernist forces the text through his own scientific grid. And so the Bible is not sufficient for the modernist, but you must have science as your final authority. And the trouble is, of course, that all of these authorities are subject to change. Even the man who says, well, the Bible is the Word of God, that part of the Bible is the Word of God, when it really speaks to me. Well, the trouble is that one part may speak wonderfully to one man, and another man has no feeling about it at all. What happens? They disagree. So you may have one man who is two men who start at the same position. One is of a very mystical bent, the other rather rationalistic, and the one may end up a Roman Catholic, and the other a Unitarian. Because they have different final authorities. But what is the answer to all this then? The answer is, first of all, we affirm there has to be a final authority. And in fact, there always is a final authority. You can be very wishy-washy and woolly and loose in your thinking and say, well, there's really no final authority. But actually, there has to be for everybody. Most people, I suspect, the final authority is me, what I like. What I think, if ever someone comes to you and you speak from the Scriptures and explain, for example, the Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. And he says, well, I don't like that. That sounds terribly narrow. He'd actually make himself the final authority, whether he realises it or not. We all have a final authority. And the man who says he doesn't is a man who doesn't realise what it is. We have to think these things through. Now, my position is this. If Jesus is whom he says he is, and if the Bible is simply taken, first of all, like any other book, that's what the critics like to say, you should read the Bible like any other book. Well, if you do that with the New Testament, you're presented with an amazing person. The person of Jesus Christ. With a man
unlike any other man who ever walked the earth, a man who speaks himself as a final authority, who speaks himself of having been in heaven and come down out of heaven. You have the Son of God speaking, the man who accepts worship in terms, the Apostle Thomas puts it, of this man is my Lord and my God. And if that's the case, what did he think? I think it is very dangerous for the Christian to have a view of the Bible that is any different from Jesus's. What did Jesus think of the Bible? Well, you will find in the 5th chapter of the Gospel according to John, Jesus' declaration, John 5:39. He says, "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me." You are searching the Scriptures, and they testify of me. He says elsewhere, the Scripture cannot be broken. If the Scripture cannot be broken, if the Scripture is the final authority to Jesus, what are we to do? And we find the account of Jesus' temptation by the devil in Luke chapter 4. Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted 40 days by the devil. And Satan approaches him with 3 temptations. The first one, the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." But Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "All this authority I will give you, and all their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours." Then Jesus answered and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." And you'll see the pattern emerging already. Jesus uses the Scriptures to answer the devil. And then Satan tries to twist the Bible. Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered and said to him, "It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." And you see, he brings the Scripture, the Bible. Now, if ever there was a man who could have answered Satan on his own accord, on his own authority, it was Jesus. And yet he says, "It is written." He brings the Bible against the devil. And again, if we were to turn to Matthew's Gospel and chapter 15... we have the Pharisees. The scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." He answered and said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother, and let him and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death.' But you say, 'Whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God,' then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition." Hypocrites! Well, did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching his doctrines the commandments of men." He tells us the Scripture is to stand against the traditions that men bring into all human traditions, are to be judged by the Bible. You see, we all have traditions. There is nothing wrong with a tradition in and of itself, as long as that tradition is not opposed to the Bible. As long as that tradition is fitting with the scriptures. And see, that is the problem with the Roman Catholic view of tradition. The tradition is viewed as equal, notionally, but in fact superior to the scriptures. Because the commandment says that you shall not make a graven image and bow down to it and worship it. But Rome says if you make an image of a saint or of Jesus and you bow down to it and say prayers before it, then it is fine. The Eastern Orthodox have a similar position, although they say, well, of course it says you can't have a graven image, so you can have a painted icon instead, which seems to me to be a strange way around the spirit of the law by following to exactly the letter. But you see, tradition must be judged by the Bible. Well, what did the apostles think of the Bible? How did they regard the scriptures? We find in the record, first of all, of Paul's missionary labours in Acts 17, the account of the Jews of Berea. And we find that the Bereans, in fact, are applauded for being, Acts 17 verse 10, Paul and Silas came by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went to the synagogue of the Jews. And verse 11, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness, and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. In other words, the preaching of Paul was subject to the Bible. The Berean Jews are commended for taking Paul's words and comparing them with the Old Testament, the Bible as they had it. Now again, Paul was an apostle. He was a man who was used by God to write scripture. You would think, no, there was a man who could say, no, wait, what I'm giving you is new revelation. There's no need to bring it to the scriptures, it was Paul. But instead, Paul commended them for searching the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. And we find when Paul writes to the church in Corinth, in 1 Corinthians, he tells us First Corinthians 4 and verse 6, these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written. The written word, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. And again, at the end of his life, writing to Timothy, Paul says, 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 14, you must continue in the things which you have learned and be assured of, knowing them, from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. And of course, in that context, the word must be the written word. Preach the word. The final authority the sufficient authority. It is enough, you say. Verse 17, 2 Timothy 3:17, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Every good work. Not just for the majority of good works, not just for many, many, many good works, but every good work. And you see, there is a problem. That if you say anything less, you are saying that there are some good works for which the Scripture cannot thoroughly equip us. But surely not. Because that is to go against what the Bible says. And Isaiah in the Old Testament, of course, when the Roman Catholic says to us, well, show us where Jesus and the apostles practice sola scriptura, we reply, well, you are looking at books that are scripture. People living in an era during which scripture is given are in a different position than those who are living in an era where it is not. And again, Isaiah 8:20, he says, to the law and to the testimony. And of course, Torah, law, is a technical term that refers to the scriptures of the Old Testament, and particularly to the first five books, the books of Moses, to the law and to the testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. People are to be judged by the Bible. This is referring to people who claim to be prophets. And he is saying, try the prophets by the law and by the testimony. And of course we have our text that we looked at in Luke chapter 16. To come back to the words of the Lord Jesus. And you will notice that the rich man in our text says to Abraham, verse 27, I beg you, therefore, Father, you would send him, his Lazarus, to my father's house. Abraham replies, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. In other words, the Bible is sufficient for salvation. You do not need a miracle, an extra biblical miracle, to bring you to faith. And it is notable, it is the man in hell, the man who is eternally condemned, who is saying the Bible is not enough. You must give a miracle. And it is Abraham in glory who says no. If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. And we cannot forget who is speaking this, namely the man who would rise from the dead, and men would not believe him when that happened. And so we see that the Bible is enough if we appeal to Jesus, if we appeal to the apostles, if we appeal to the prophets. We find that they all say the Bible is all you need. There is no higher authority. Now there are those who will say, well, are you not putting the Bible in the place of God? Not at all, because the Bible is, as the apostle says to Timothy, God breathed, his God speaking. You cannot make a distinction between God and his word. How can you know what God thinks unless he has spoken? And so really the man who says, well, I have God above the Bible, has forgotten this. And is making a distinction between God and his word, which is impossible. To say that God disagrees with himself, what nonsense it is. It is a question of your final authority. And the question we ask is Christ final? Is the Lord Jesus final for Christians? Because if he is, then it follows that the Bible is final for Christians. And the Bible, if it is final, it is sufficient. The Christian ministry is a ministry of the Word. That is why used to be the case that many ministers would write after their names the initials VDM, Verbum Dei Minister, Minister of the Word of God, Servant of the Word. Preach the Word, says Paul. Not your own imagination, not your own ideas. Preach the Word. And this is our final sufficient authority. It is enough. Our Lord tells it enough. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled. Amen.